there's a collection of thoughts of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Zatzal, brought down in a sefer called Harei Kedem, in which he discusses the concept of tshuva and kapara on Yom Kippur. A significant part of that discussion is devoted to trying to understand the way that tshuva interacts with the kapara of Yom Kippur, both Bisman Beis Hamikdash, as well as in the current day. And he discusses to what extent the state of tshuva, Yitzumo Shel Yom, Sarir HaMishtaleach, and Vidui all contribute to Kaparas Yom Kippur. But in another short piece, as many believe, as almost everyone brings down, Yom Kippur is not mechaber on Avonos Ben Adam Lechabera. And the Rav brings down two different sources for the fact that Yom Kippur is not mechaber on Averis Ben Adam Lechabera. The first is the pasuk Lifnei Hashem Titaru, that the tahara of Yom Kippurim, the kapara of Yom Kippurim, is only on those things that are lifnei Hashem, but not ben adam lechaver. And he asks the other question, which is, we already have a pasuk that tells us that when you sin against someone else, that you have to do tshuva, which is with Abimelech and Abram, Hashev es eshes ha'ish, that in order to do tshuva, Avimelech had to return Sarah and to apologize. And the Rav asks the question of why both psukim are necessary. Why do we need the drasha of Rav Elazar ben Azariah of Nei Hashem Titaru, which is a drasha on the pasuk, when we directly see that if you chote against someone, that you need to appease them? And the Rav answers, he does not draw the analogy to Pesach, but I think there is an analogy to Pesach. And the analogy to Pesach is just like there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, but there's a special mitzvah on Leil HaSeder of Egatul Bincha. So too the Rav says, in terms of being Meratza Chavero, when you've sinned against someone, that there's a mitzvah all year round, Hashev Esayish Esayish, to do tshuva if you've sinned against someone. But there's a special mitzvah on the day of Yom Kippur, which is Livnei Hashem Titaru. And he suggests that the difference between the two mitzvahs is that the tshuva Ben Adam L'Chaver all year round is a regular sort of tshuva. But on Yom Kippur, you have to, in a sense, not just do tshuva, but you have to be Ratzas Chaver. You have to see that the person that you've sinned against, not only you've said you're sorry, but that he actually feels a kinship with you and completely excuses whatever the chait was. He continues to suggest that the reason that we have this special mitzvah on Yom Kippur is that the kapara of Yom Kippur is a kapara shel tzibur. And that if there's any pagam in the tzibur, that the kapara of Yom Kippur is deficient. His evidence that the kapara of Yom Kippur is a kapara tzibur, of course, is the Sarir HaMishtaleach. There was one karban for all of Bnei Yisrael. And therefore he suggests that in order for a kapara on Yom Kippur to be complete, there has to be ritzui of the tzibur as a whole in connection to be able to participate in the Sarir HaMishtaleach, or in today, in Yitzumo Shel Yom. And that Tshuva Ben Adam L'Chavero is one of the important components of this Kaparas Tzibur on Yom Kippur. So with that introduction, I want to spend a few minutes talking about something which you experience every day, which has its origins in the Gemara, but has a complex series of memros in the Gemara that requires some analysis, and that is chavrusa. Now, chavrusa, well, the idea of learning with another person rather than learning yourself, in addition, of course, to a shir, is mentioned, as we will see many times in the Gemara. It was instituted in a seder similar to what is present in Lander College for Men, probably in yeshiva in the early 1800s, where there's a morning seder with chavrusa before a shir. That sort of structure of the day seems to go back to the early 1800s. And the chavrusa relationship is in many ways a critical one. It's in some ways the closest relationship that you have. And I don't want to suggest for a second that there's any deficiency at Lander College for Men in the nature of chavrusa, but simply talking in general terms about the implications of chavrusa, and particularly the implications of chavrusa as we approach Yom Kippur for the relationship between Adam and Chaver. So I'm going to start with the Gemara in Tainus, which unfortunately, because of some reproduction problems, isn't fully reproduced in the source sheets. But I'll read the Gemara in Tainus here. Mai dechsiv barzel v'barzel. This is a pasuk in Mishle. It says, why does the pasuk say barzel v'barzel yachad? Iron against iron together. Lomar l'chama barzel ze echad mechadid es chaveiro. One piece of iron sharpens the other one. Afshei talim yechacham mechadid ze ze v'halach. Two talmid yechachamim sharpen each other in halacha. And it's interpreted that this refers to chavrusa learning with the shakla vataria that sharpens things. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabba Barachana lama nimshlu divrei Torah ke'esh. Why is Torah considered like a fire? Shenemar halo ko divrei esh um Hashem. Pasuk in Yirmiya, the divrei Hashem are like a fire. Lomar lecha ma'esh inu dolek yichidi. One log cannot burn alone. Af divrei Torah emiskayim divichidi. So too, divrei Torah can't be learned alone. Vayim dam Rav Yosef bar Chananya may dechtiv. Cherev el abadim v'noalu. Cherev al sonenim shatav yechachamim. There's a pasuk in Yirmiya that isn't referring really to bad meaning alone. It's referring to the badim who in Bavel were soothsayers who were turning Bnei Yisrael away from Torah. But the Gemara homiletically reinterprets the pasuk as saying the following: Cherev al sonenim shatav yechachamim, a sword or death for the enemies of Talmidei Chachamim, she'oskim bad b'bab Torah, that learn Torah alone as opposed to learning a chavrusa. V'lo'od ela she'metapshim. Not only that, but those who learn Torah alone become foolish. She'nemar v'no'alu. It says v'no'alu in this pasuk, that if you learn alone, you'll become foolish. V'la'od ela shechotim. Ksiv hacha v'no'alu, ksiv hasam asher no'alu v'asher chatanu. In the Vidu it says asher no'alu v'asher chatanu, Parshas Bar Midbar. Therefore, you not only become foolish, not only you chayiv misa, but you've been chote. So that's the Gemara in Tainus. A similar piece appears in Brachos as well. So let's take a look at how some of the Mefarshim interpret, first of all, the fact that there are three separate psukim here, and second of all, what this can teach us about the nature of chavrusa learning, and how can it be that learning Torah alone is somehow negative. So if we look at page 3, at the second source from the bottom. Hamiiri kasa liolam yasa adam latzma chaver l'motora imo. A person should always learn in chavrusa. She'ein ha'pilpu much lichidi elek ha'shachaver omorer. That understanding Gemara properly never happens unless you have someone else to awaken it. V'husha amru ena Torah to kenes ela b'chapura. Torah is not considered straight except if you learn a chapruza. Ben Yaakov tzara tziyein l'mishnah b'avos k'nei l'chapet. So here we have what will become important as we learn some of the other Gemaras. This word chaver, which may mean friend, may mean Talmud Chacham, but it was also the shoresh of the word chavrusa. We see here the En Yaakov is making this connection about saying in Avos, when it says k'nei l'chaver, it's not talking about friendship according to the En Yaakov, it's talking about learning chavrusa. Ubeit Yaakov bier shakavona b'chabura ilu hotzi dvarim l'chudashim mitoch ha'pilpul l'svara b'rabim v'ozir nechshav k'ilu hayom kibluha. That not only does it improve Torah learning, but in a sense, by being mechadish things, it's recreating Matan Torah, is I believe what he's referring to. Another explanation about this idea, about why Lumod B'Chabura is the piece below it. Amarit Nisivas Olam Bier Ki HaSeichel Omid B'Guf V'Tzorach Sheyat Seichel Nivdal Malagot. Your brain is connected to the body, but it needs to be separate. V'umala Torah al yidei chabura shekol echad motzi sichlo el acher v'acher mekabel osa. V'etel acher shemekabel mechavero ha're'etzlo hu seichel nivdo shirolo yomid bo ad shebazeh hu na'aseh seichel nivdo. Maharil is saying that by learning chavrusa and by having someone else's seichel interact with you, essentially, you're creating a separation of Seichel and Aguf to elevate the level of learning. You see here that learning in Chavrusa, at least according to this Mefarshim, has the ability to elevate oneself in incredible degrees, to separate the spiritual from the physical, and to recreate Matan Torah. Almost frightening thoughts. If we try to look at the top reference in this page, it further elucidates the complexity of Chavrusa that's described in the Gemara. This is actually on the Gemara in Brachos, but it recreates the same psukim that I read from the Gemara in Tainus. But there are three separate psukim, and the three separate psukim that are elevated by Chavrusa include Limud Torah, Leida Hadinim, to learn Halacha, Leos Baki Bihem, and to somehow create an expertise through Chavrusa, that is different from what one can learn alone. So it's not only Limud Torah, Limud Halacha, but creating a Bekiyus, and others suggest that if one person forgets something, then someone else will remind them. Finally, if we look at the top reference on page 4 in the Ein Eliyahu, on the Mishnah Abbas HaShachech Echad Mi Mishnasenu Chayav Misa V'lochein B'zman She'osek B'Torah K'sheheim Shnayim K'sheyishkach Dovar Azai Chavero Yazgiro. When you forget something, your Chavrusa will remind you. And this is the suggestion of why it talks about Cherev, about someone who learns alone, because of the Iser of forgetting Divrei Torah, which of course to some extent we're all over on every day, at least I am. But what he suggests here is that learning in Chavrusa, the Ein Eliyahu suggests, learning in Chavrusa can mitigate that. And he continues to say the following. V'vunu medrash ala pasuk tovim hashnayim min ha'echad. Pasuk in Koheles tovim hashnayim min ha'echad tovim hashnayim kshek giyim b'torah mizesh osek li'atzmo. It's better to learn a chavrusa rather than alone. Ki mipolo ha'echad yokim es chaver. That if someone falls down, his friend will elevate him. Now, regarding this member about the pasuk in Koheles, you should ask me a question. Does anybody remember the pasuk in Koheles? I guess not. How does the pasuk end? It's a lot of mumbling. Exactly. So why aren't, if you're going to use the pasuk in Koheles as support for learning the chavrusa, why are there two people in chavrusa? It's true, im yipol echad hashnayim yakim also, but achud hamishulash ba'ol mehera lo yinate, that if you have three people, then it will never be broken. And that's surely the way that you can establish the fact that Torah will never be forgotten. So as it turns out, there's some academic research on chavrusa learning. And to be honest, most of it is horrible. It's done primarily by a professor at Brandeis. The methodology would never pass muster, quite frankly, in any other field. The conclusions way outweigh what was actually learned. They observed only one set of chavrusas, one group of chavrusas in their own institute. And those people in that institute where they observed the chavrusa learning had never been exposed to chavrusa learning in yeshiva, by and large. So so most of their conclusions, I have a lot of issues with. It's Professor Holzer is his name. However, if you look at the last page of the Shor sheet, there is one observation that they make, which is this diagram. There's one observation that they make, which I think actually may be crucial and may be important, and continues the ideas that we expressed earlier about how chavrusa learning elevates one to recreate Matan Torah, to separate the physical from the spiritual. And their model of chavrusa learning actually says that in a two-person chavrusa, in fact, there are three people or three things. There are the two people learning chavrusa, and there's the text. And through a variety of observational studies, they suggest that the text itself is an essential partner to the process of chavrusa learning. Now, it seems obvious, right? You're learning Torah, you're learning a text. So what does this really mean? But what it really suggests is that the reality, of course, is that as we learn in chavrusa, we're constantly interacting with the Gemara in a bilateral way. You learn the Gemara one way, you read it again, you gain new insights, perhaps you bring in another Gemara to ask a Shaila. And that process, according to this research, really creates the fact that in a Chavrusa there are really three things involved, the two people and the text itself. One could suggest, if one believed this piece of the conclusion, this one of their conclusions is better supported than the others, that the chut hamishulash mehera lo yinatek in the pasuk really refers to the fact that we're establishing a relationship in chavrusa, not just in learning with each other, but actually the text itself almost becomes alive as part of chavrusa learning, and it really becomes a chut hamishulash. So this is the positive aspects of chavrusa learning. If we look at page 4, we see, however, we begin to see, and we'll see far more as we look at the other Gemaras. This is a Gemara in Maseches Kedushim. Amar Rav Chiya bar Rava, afilu ha'av uvno, harav v'talmido. Oskin Bitora Bishar Echad Nesu Oivin Ze Es Ze. For a time, they become enemies. But you don't leave Chavrusa until you love each other. Somewhat homiletic, but it suggests that often the very nature of elevating learning through Chavrusa begins with the sense of an adversarial relationship. Kasha and Atero, it's two different points of view. And ideally, the Chavrusa eventually comes together where there's a pshat in the Gemara that's mutually understood that replaces the oivim, however one understands that, with ahava, with love. And in a sense, the Gemara in Kedushim, I think, is suggesting to us that that is the ideal nature of Chavrusa. If we look at the Meiri, Sheshnei B'nei Adam, Shadaitam Shava Yesh B'nei Amava. If you connect with someone that you agree philosophically, practically, there's ahava. That's one of the definitions of ahava. L'fikach shnayim hamitznatzchim b'torah me'achar v'chok habarasam gila'amida emes ha'machona. Those who win at learning Torah and try to reach the truth, heim maskimim lo'sof odeya echad u'meleim nasim ovim zelaza. But this is what ahava means in this situation, that you reach a mutual gemiras das, in a sense, of the pshat of the Gemara. So if that's all the Gemara had to say about Chavrusa learning, or about Chavrusa, life would be relatively simple. We'd have an idealized way to learn, obviously not replacing Shir, but where the process of Chavrusa, as it does, is mechad demzelos, that sharpens each other, elevates each one, and in an ideal Chavrusa begins with an adversarial relationship and reaches a gemiras das besecho that elevates the Torah, that creates a connection between the text and the partners in the Chavrusa, and creates the furtherance of Torah. Someone once asked me, doesn't it bother you that there are all these kashas, that there are all these things that are unresolved, that there are continued conflicts, that there's no single day on Kol Yisrael? To some extent, of course, it carries some danger. But my answer is very simple. If the Torah were given as halacha psuka, if lo bashamayim he never existed, the intellectual process that connects us to Torah would be stilted. And the chavrusa, the idea of asking questions and reaching a joint conclusion, is what keeps the process of Torah learning vibrant, alive, and keeps the mitzvah of v'agisa bo yomam v'layla elevated. However, as I mentioned, the Gemara has a couple of other stories about Chavrusa, and in the next few minutes before we finish, I want to try to see if we can understand those stories, because they're both troublesome, at least to me. So if we begin first with the front reference, which is a long story, which is first brought down in the Mishnah, and then describing the Gemara, the story of Choni Hamad, or Ma'agya. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the story, but I want to read a couple of things about it to try to emphasize some things. Pam echas yotza rov ador v'lo yodu gishamim. So I know you have a part highlighted. This part of the story of Choni Hamad actually starts a little bit earlier. Just to borrow the short stop for a second, since I have this reprinted. penalize him. Hamachas yotzer rovader v'lo yodruk shamin. Shochul chuni amago. Hispalo v'yodruk yishamin. Hispalel v'yodruk yishamin. They asked chuni amagel to daven so that rain would come. Hispalo v'lo yodruk yishamin. So chuni amagel had a reputation as a tzaddik as well as a reputation as a talmid chacham. He davened, but no rain came. Og ugav ama besochei drew a circle and stood in the middle. Kederach she'asach chabaku kanavi. Shemar al mishparti emoda ve'asyatzva al motzor gomer. Amar lefanav ribono sholom. He said, Hashem, bonecha somu p'neim olai she'ani kivin vayis lefanecha. Your children have turned to me. He refers to himself, which will become important, as a ben bayis of Nei Hashem. Nishba ani b'shimcha agadol al bonecha she'enim nishba ani b'shimcha agadol she'enim zaz mikan asher terachem al bonecha. I won't move from here until you have pity on your children. Yischilu g'nat g'sham minatven. Drizzle began. Amru lo tamidav Rebbe renucha v'lo namos. We wish to see you and not die, meaning we need more rain. Kedumim lo the rain is only falling so that your shvua, that you won't move from there, will be fulfilled. But I really need rain. Omar, he said to Hashem, lo kach sha'alti, ela geshamim boros sichin umaros, rains that fill the water holes, ditches, and caves. Yodu bezaf, it started pouring. Ad shekol tipu v'tipu kim lo pi chavis, each drop was like a barrel. V'shiru chachamim she'ein tipa pesucha milug. They were huge. Our little tamid of Rebbe, v'inucha v'lo namas, we don't want to die. Kedum anoshen gesham yordim ela abeda olam. That this is another flood, that Hashem is somehow angry. Amar lafan av lokach sha'alti, he says to Hashem, this is not what I asked for, ela gishmei ratzon brachun dava. I want a rain of bracha. Yordu ketikun, ketiknan. The rain fell normally. Achalu kolam laharabayis b'nei akshamim. Amru lo Rebbe kishem shespalalta sheyerdu. Kach tespal v'yechu lahem. Amru lahem mukublani sheim mispalam al rova tova. Afal pichein hevi'u lo par hadah. They brought him a par of thanks. Samach shtei yodav olav. V'amar lofanav ribono sholam amchi Yisrael. We can't have too much rain or too little rain. You got angry. Too much rain, they can't stand it. The rain should stop and relief should come to the world. The wind stopped blowing. They brought back mushrooms and truffles. Okay. So this is the story of Chuni Amago stopping the drought. The only point I want to make about this story is Choni has taken on Hashem here. In a way almost reminiscent of Avram Avinu. But in some sense, Choni seems sort of went in some ways beyond Avram. Abraham never asked that stone not be destroyed. He simply talked about tzaddikim. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach. The reason I provide that introduction is because the next Gemara seems to come out of nowhere. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach il mole choni ata gozreni alecha nidui. If you were not choni hama'agil, if you're not a tzaddik, I would put you in chere. She'ilu shanim kishnei Eliyahu. If these years had been like Eliyahu, Shemavtachas Gesham Biyosha Eliyahu, when Eliyahu controlled the rain, Lo Nimtza Shem Shemayim Mischal Al Yadecha, would not Shem Shemayim be Mischal Al, because Eliyahu, there are different explanations of this, but the simplest explanation is to suggest that his Shvu and Eliyahu's Shvu are contradictory, and one of them, therefore, would be guilty of a shvua shav. Avo ma'asha lecha shatom ischati lefnei amakom. Choni, you sin before Hashem. Vosu lecha ritzoncha. And Hashem does your will. Kevein shem ischati aviv. like a son who sins before his father, v'osel l'ritzono, and the father does it. V'omer lo, Abba, holicheni l'rachatzeni b'chamim, shatfeni b'tzonan, tenli agozim shkedim, afarsikim b'rimonim, give me warm water, cold water, treats, v'nosen lo. V'lecha kasuv omer, yismach avicha v'imcha v'sachay olasecha. May your father and mother rejoice. So, Shimon ben Shetach is taking Choni HaMa'agel to task. The analogy with Eliyahu seems a little strange. Bnei Yisrael came to Choni HaMa'agel and asked him to pray for rain, and he did. What was Shimon ben Shetach's problem? Why was Shimon ben Shetach critical of Choni? So we'll come back to that question in a moment. Tanu Rabbanan Mashachalu Bnei Lishkas HaGozis L'Choni HaMa'agel. In contrast to Shimon ben Shetach, the members of Lishkas HaGozis, the Sanhedrin Gedola, said to him, V'tikzar Omer V'yokim L'chal Grecha N'geor. You will pronounce the decree and will be filled for you because your ways are light. V'sikzar Omer Ato Gazartu M'mata V'akarash Baruch Hu M'kayim Ma'amukham M'mala V'adurachecha N'ogaor Dor Shal Yo'ofel He'arta B'silas B'silas Secha. And it continues, and I'll skip this. The members of Lishkas HaGozis continue to praise Choni HaMa'agel. So that's the first Choni HaMa'agel story. We're left with a question of what did Choni do really to have Shimon ben Shetach say, I'd like to put you in Cherem, but we'll leave that for a moment. The second story of Choni is even more problematic, raises even more questions. Is it possible for anyone to sleep for 70 years? That was what was bothering Choni. Yom Achad Havi Ozov Urche was going on the road. Chazil Ahu Gavra the Havi Natachur was planting a carob. Amar Le, Hai Akama Shnim Toyim. How long does it take for the Chorev to bear fruit? Amar Le Ad Shivim Shnim, 70 years. Amar Le Pshita Lechach to Chayisha Shivim Shnim. Will you live for 70 years? Amar Le Hai Gavra Amla Bechurva Ashkechei. I'm going to leave it for, just like my father left it for me, I'll plant it for my children. Yosef Kabarach Rifta. Choni sat down and ate bread. Asale Shena. Drowsiness overcame Nim. He slept for 70 years. Ahadre Le Mishnusa. He became hidden. Ika Me'ena. So a rock rose around him and he became hidden from sight. V'nim Shivim Shnim. He slept for 70 years. Kicham Chazel Ugabra Dahave Kamalaket Minayu. He saw that someone was gathering from the tree. Amarle, At Hu Disalye. Did you plant the tree? Amarle, Barbareona. I'm his grandson. Amar Shmamina Dinaimi Shivim Shana. Choni understood that he slept for 7 years. Chazal Chamre Disyala Le Ramche Ramche. His mare, his Chamor, had grandchildren. So what did Choni do after sleeping for 70 years? Azal Aveser. Amar Lahu Bray the Choni Hamagil Mikayim. Is my son alive? Amrule Bray Lesa. Son is not alive. Babre Yisav. His grandson is. Amar Lahu Choni Hamagil. Lo heimino. He did. He said, "Amar le, ana choni amago." He said, "I am choni," and they didn't believe him, which is not surprising. Ozel leves medrash. Shmaiin lerabim dekamri. Nihirim shmaitim kibishne choni amago. Our teachings are clear to us as they were in the day of choni amagel. The chi have ayel leves medrasha. Kol kushya dehavi lerabon hamim faradle. Any questions that the Chum had, he would answer. Amar Lahu Anihu. They did not believe that he was Choni, even though he was able to answer all the questions. V'lo'avdi Eliyakarek Demoyle. They didn't honor him. Cholash Daito Boyerach Meumis. He became distressed and died. This is what Rava said. People say, O Chavrusa, O Misasa. So that's the Gemara with the story of Choni HaMa'agel. So we asked one small question. What did Choni do originally to risk the possibility of Cheram? But if we think about the story of Choni HaMa'agel here, after he saved Bnei Yisrael from a drought, he goes out on the street, he talks to someone who's planting a bush, suddenly falls asleep for 70 years. His friends and his family are gone. Despite the fact that he's still viewed as a Talmid Chacham, no one honors him. And then he dies. It's a terrible story, right? The story of Choni HaMa'agel, this tzaddik, the person who saved Klal Yisrael, suddenly sleeps for 70 years, is left bereft and alone, and dies. So first, I want to suggest a couple of things. One is there is a pshat that the whole thing was a dream. In other words, that it didn't really happen. It was just a metaphor to try to understand this idea that our existence is here not just for ourselves, but we're part of a shalsheles of Torah, and it's our responsibility to pass it on to others just as it passed on to us. That's one way to understand the Maisa of the Chorev, of the Karim. And that Choni never really went to sleep, but it's just a mushel. That's certainly not the Peshawar part. So here I want to spend just 2 or 3 minutes taking a little bit of a detour. Before we talk about what the story with Choni was, and what O Chavrusa O Misasa might mean. Several of the Mefarshim are bothered by the question of how is it that Choni was not respected? Let's say we accept the fact they didn't believe it was Choni HaMa'agel, which makes perfect sense. Who would have believed that someone slept for 70 years, suddenly woke up and returned to the Beis Medrash, no matter how great his learning was? So 3 different Mefarshim in different ways suggest that the Adam HaGadol, the Chacham, and the Dor are intimately connected. So if we look at the second page, Lama Hitzhtar Choni Kishalono Gabokovu, I'm sorry, Atam Shalom Yemidu Chod. Why didn't they believe Choni? So it's reference 3, the third piece down. Be'er HaMichtav Be'Eliyahu Shalchol Dor Yesh Bechina Miucheres Bavod Hashem. Every generation has its own way to serve Hashem. Chashuva Raki Mitzarev Kiddush Hashem Miuchad Shel Ador. And any person's avoda, any person's godless, is only to the extent that he connects to the Kiddush Hashem for that generation. That was the greatness of that generation, as the Gemara says. The way of worshiping Hashem was different. It was much more of a sense of hachna to Hashem. Because they were concerned about gaiva. That there was a different attitude in that generation about Avodas Hashem, a different attitude about the way one ought to behave in the Beis Medrash, and therefore Choni was not recognized as an Adam Gadol. Other Mefarshim suggest that his Masim were unknown because they didn't believe it was Choni. And being respected as a Talmud Chacham, as an Adam Gadol, is not just about learning, but also about the way one behaves. It is, I believe, somewhat divorced from the main point of today's talk. It is, I believe, a lesson. And the lesson is that in any door, we can't rely only on the gedolim for previous generations, however great they were. But we have a responsibility to cultivate and respect and relate to gedolim in the current generation. And I think it requires some effort on our part collectively to have that happen in the current generation, rather than to have every shaila be answered by, if only Rav Moshe were here for 15 minutes, or the Rav were here for 15 minutes, or someone else were here for 15 minutes, we'd have an answer. That aside, the question is, why did Choni, assuming one rejects the idea that this was all a chalom, what did Choni do to deserve this? And what's the reason of O Chavrusa, Chavrusa O Misasa? So first of all, in terms of understanding O Chavrusa O Misasa, Rashi suggests that it's friendship. But as we talked about, this idea of friendship is intertwined with Chavrusa. So it's also possible to understand the Gemara of O Chavrusa O Misasa as referring to a partner in learning, since even though they listened to Choni in the Beis HaMedrash, they didn't respect him as one of them. He didn't have a chavrusa to learn with. I don't really think that one could fully understand this Medrash. But I think, returning to the theme that we just talked about each generation, perhaps one can suggest that there's a connection between the Maisa of the Chorev and what happened to Choni, which is simply that for all his godless, Choni didn't seem to appreciate the fact that we have to build not just for ourselves, but to consider ourselves part of the chain of building, just like my grandfather gave to us. We create for generations down the road. And perhaps the Michtav Me'elio suggesting that Choni wasn't apropos for the new generation is a hint to the fact that Choni, for all his tzidkus and his godless, should never have asked the question, why are you planting the Chorev? And should never have been bothered by what Hayinu Kechomim means, understanding that 70 years is Keheref Ayin B'Enei Hashem. I'll close, however, with a Gemara that I won't read because you all know the story. Further creating a question about how we understand Chavrusa learning. And that, of course, is brought down in the last piece of Gemara on page 5, the story of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Story of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, as I said, I'm not going to read it, you all know it, is also, in a sense, a tragic story. Rabbi Yochanan rescues Reish Lakish from a life as a bandit. According to the Mefarshim, the way to understand the idea that Rabbi Yochanan offered his sister as a wife to Reish Lakish when they first met was that Reish Lakish was, in fact, a Gavra Rabba, Talmud Chacham, before Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish ever met. And Rabbi Yochanan's job was to bring Reish Lakish to do tshuva and back to the Beis Medrash, which of course he successfully did. The story continues that they're learning one day. There's a question of when a keli of war, a kli zayin, is makabel tuma. Question is when it's formed or when it's finally polished. And Reish Lakish, who was a robber, a listim, an armed robber, understood that a part of the effectiveness of a weapon is the fear of what the weapon looks like. And that polishing the weapon after it's already been forged adds to its effectiveness. In a sense, it's a deterrence. The fear that it strikes means you won't have to use the weapon, and therefore it's not makabel tuma until the polishing is done because the kli is not complete. Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, a robber knows his business, and therefore I'll be molded to you that you're correct in the halacha, that the kli is not makabel tuma, the kli is not finished until it's polished after it's already forged. Reish Lakish becomes extraordinarily insulted and says, why was I even chozer b'tshuva? I was a leader before and I'm a leader now. Or in the Lashon of the Gemara, currently Rav, and now I'm called Rav. Rav Yochanan becomes extremely upset. Reish Lakish becomes ill. And the Gemara continues to say, Rav Yochanan's sister, who married Reish Lakish, comes to Rav Yochanan and says, please forgive Reish Lakish. And Rav Yochanan refuses. Reish Lakish dies. Rav Yochanan becomes inconsolable, goes back to the Beis Medrash. They try to find a study partner for Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan cannot be consoled, and the study partner they find for him always agrees with him instead of arguing with him the way Reish Lakish did. The Lashon of the Gemara is, I would come up with 24 explanations, Reish Lakish would ask 24 questions, and together, just as we described the process of Chavrusa earlier, by the time we were at the 49th explanation, the Memtes explanation, suddenly the Gemara became clear. And Rav Yochanan, according to the Rishonim, it was for 3.5 years, but the Pshat of the Bavli is it was not. Rav Yochanan then dies. So here we have a story of two Gedolim in Chavrusa learning to elevate Torah, and through this misunderstanding, they both die. One Pshat of the Gemara, just as in the story of Choni HaMa'adiel, one Pshat of the Gemara is that the story of Rav Yochanan's sister coming to speak to Rav Yochanan and asking for Mechila for Reish Lakish never really happened. And that in fact, when Reish Lakish became ill, no one knew why he became ill. It was only subsequently that it became clear that he became ill because of his comment and disrespect to Rav Yochanan. By the way, I should have added, of course, that there's a halacha, what upset Reish Lakish is a halacha that a ger baal tshuva, you cannot remind him of his life beforehand. And so this was really a miscommunication between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan meant to show Reish Lakish respect for the fact that he had expertise in a way that could impact halacha, and Reish Lakish took it as an insult and reacted inappropriately and got carried away. So there were those who suggest that story of the sister never happened, but again, that's not the pshat of the Gemara. What I think the message of the story of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and to extent, if we accept that interpretation of the story of Choni HaMa'adiel, is that our relationship with other human beings, with a chaver, is also in some way recreated by the chavrusa relationship. You begin as an oyev, and you try with discussion, with disagreement, and you try l'shem Torah to reach conclusion. And many of our interactions with people fall into that same category, lahavdil, not learning Torah. Both of these stories indicate that when we deal with bein adam l'chavero, misunderstandings will happen, even among chavrusas who are gedolim. And that as we approach Yom Kippur, we have to recall that we have to be extraordinarily careful about the way we speak to each other. Because no matter what level we're at, communication can lead to misunderstanding, to insulting others, to disaster, if we take the stories in the Gemara literally. And according to what I suggested, based on the quote of the Rav that's brought down in Harei Kedem, that deficiency in Bein Adam L'Chavero, of having said something that was inappropriate, having insulted someone, even if we didn't realize it, that deficiency Bein Adam L'Chavero can be a pagam in the Tshuvas Tzibur that we all need to experience together as Am Yisrael to achieve Kapara as we approach Yom Kippur next week. Mar Chasima Tova.
like that.